I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's talk about Erdogan. What the hell is he up to? Because, you know, things are just, to me, things are spiraling out of control. And I'm trying to figure out why is Erdogan doing what he's doing in regards to Libya. We did a video on Syria, yes, and what's going on in Idlib, and the way Erdogan has positioned himself between Russia and the United States, and with support of Al-Qaeda and Idlib and all of that stuff. So I encourage everyone to check out that video. But let's focus now on Libya and turn our attention to Libya, where once again Erdogan has inserted himself into the ongoing war between the GNA and the LNA in Libya. And things have gotten very confusing. So let me read you a couple of paragraphs from a Zero Hedge article that came out the other day. And the title of that article, Alexander, is Foreign Fighter Ratline in Reverse. Turkey sends Syrian rebels to Libya. Bloomberg has confirmed on Friday the prior rumors that Turkey will be sending mercenaries to Libya, where it is propping up the UN-backed government in Tripoli, the GNA, are true. Turkey is preparing to deploy troops and naval forces to support the internationally recognized Libyan government, joining a planned push by Ankara-backed Syrian rebels to defeat strongman Khalifa Haftar, reports Bloomberg. Though Ankara has yet to confirm or deny the new reports, Erdogan's Turkey has for years overseen a Libya to Turkey to Syria arms ratline, which saw both heavy weaponry and jihadist fighters transported for the purpose of toppling Assad. But now, with Erdogan's eyes set on defeating Benghazi-based General Khalifa Haftar, it appears this arms and jihadist ratline has conveniently been reversed. This also as President Erdogan, in a speech on Thursday, presented plans to send Turkish national troops to bolster Tripoli as well, possibly thousands from among the so-called Turkish Free Syrian Army, formerly the FSA, with most of its fighters currently attacking Syrian Kurds in the ongoing Operation Peace Spring, will now be sent into Libya. There are reports suggesting Turkey is ready to pay $2,000 a month for each Syrian rebel willing to go to Libya. Alexander, the rat line for viewers in the United States may also sound familiar, because that was the rat line that Hillary Clinton was employing for years to run weapons, jihadists, and so forth from Libya into Syria in order to topple Assad as well. So here we have, as I think Zero Hedge rightly put, a rat line now in reverse being employed by Erdogan into Libya.
Indeed it is. I think that one point I would make about this is that, of course, this rat line, this issue of Libya being a major source of jihadi funding and of jihadi fighters, has been ongoing for a very, very long time, even under Colonel Gaddafi. Now, Colonel Gaddafi himself, when he was the ruler of Libya, he didn't support any of these kinds of movements. But I can remember US officials complaining during the war in Iraq, the worst of the fighting in Iraq, that a very large proportion of the fighters they were coming up against were coming from Libya. So there's always been an element within Libya that is sort of very militant, very radical Islamists. When Colonel Gaddafi was overthrown by the United States and Britain and France in 2011, these people essentially came into their element, and there were no restraints or controls on them anymore. They were able to get their hands on the very large armory of Libyan weapons, the armories that Colonel Gaddafi had built up in Libya. And as you absolutely rightly say, with the help of Hillary Clinton's State Department and other US agencies, and of course with the help of Turkey, but also of Qatar and other Arab countries, a lot of these people were funneled into Syria, where they played a key role in assisting and promoting the Islamist jihad against Bashar al-Assad's secular government. Now, I'm going to make one observation about all of this, which is that the fact that we now have a reverse rat line, the fact that all these people are being sent back to Libya, and not just apparently people who came from Libya, but other people, may give some insight, finally, into one further reason why Erdogan is doing all of this. Because the Libyan war, the Syrian war, as we've been discussing many times in our videos, is winding to a close. Assad, backed by the Russians, has won. He's in the process of regaining control of Idlib province, which is the last major jihadi controlled area in northeast Syria. There are various jihadi enclaves along the Turkish border, which will probably take longer to sort out. And of course, there's still the ongoing problem of the Kurds. But overall, the war in Syria is winding down. From Erdogan's point of view, he's had all these dangerous Islamist fighters in Syria, near Turkey, to deal with. He's now found something to do with them, which is to get them as far away from Turkey as possible by sending them to Libya to fight a new enemy there. So in a curious kind of way, from his point of view, it does make a kind of sense. It rids him of a problem, because these jihadis are, to put it mildly, dangerous people, many of them. Turkey has had a lot of trouble with terrorist violence that some of these jihadis carried out within Turkey. And so shipping them off to Libya is perhaps one way of getting rid of them and getting them out of the way and getting them far from Turkey, where they can do the least trouble. But anyway, that may be part of Erdogan's agenda. I'm sure it's not all of it. And of course, if he creates a jihadi enclave in Libya, then in a sense, he's simply replacing one jihadi problem in Syria with another jihadi problem somewhere else. Because let's be very clear, when we're talking about all these jihadi groups, Al-Qaeda is always there in the background. It has connections to all of them. They all, at some point, become associated with Al-Qaeda. And we saw how the leader of ISIS managed to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was hidden in Idlib province by these same jihadi groups that we are seeing now in being sent to Libya. So, you know, having a jihadi enclave like this anywhere at all is a danger, and it is a danger to everyone, be it in Syria, be it in Libya, be it anywhere else. But, you know, I can see some kind of method, for the first time, I have to say, in Erdogan's madness, in what he's now doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be safe to say that Erdogan gave up al-Baghdadi. I mean, he knew where he was and he gave him up to the U.S., I think, at least. You know, he was being protected where he was, in Idlib, or in the provinces of Idlib, and he gave him up. I think
three kilometers from the Turkish border.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, and I mean, it's not perhaps widely mentioned, but there's no doubt at all that the Turkish authorities and ISIS had some past history with each other. If nothing else, there's that famous incident when Vladimir Putin shamed and embarrassed Erdogan in front of all the G20 by producing satellite photos of all these long convoys of oil tankers, trucks filled with fuel, leaving Syrian oil wells and oil facilities under ISIS control and heading for Turkey. So there's clearly a history of relations between Turkey and ISIS. But as you rightly said, if any part of the Turkish government was supporting al-Baghdadi, he became expendable some time ago. So he was clearly thrown under the bus.
And that's where I want to go with this video, Alexander, is the essence as to why Erdogan is inserting himself into the Libya conflict. Is it because of energy? Is it because of oil? Because he's also laying claim to the oceans, to the Eastern Mediterranean between Turkey and Libya. And of course, that presents a whole nother, dynamic into this conflict, a very dangerous dynamic there in regards to Egypt, to Greece, to Israel, to Cyprus. And, Erdogan, I understand he wants to be a major energy player. And you're looking at Turkstream going online very soon as well. And he's laying claim to the Mediterranean, and now he's getting involved in Libya. So is this an energy play by Erdogan? At its very essence, is this all about money? Or is Erdogan's vision even grander than that? You've mentioned many times in past videos, Erdogan's neo-Ottoman dream. Does it expand to more than energy and more than money? And if that's the case, if energy is the case, Alexander, once again, you have to talk about the U.S. and Russia. I mean, there's so many moving pieces here.
There are so many moving pieces here, but the answer to that is I think that all of these things are in play. Firstly, there is an ideological reason for this intervention. As I said, he's the government in Tripoli, which he's backing, has a very strong presence within it from the Muslim Brotherhood, Turkish government, the Turkish ruling party, to which Erdogan leaves, has historically close connections with the Muslim Brotherhood, and that partly explains that connection. It also explains, by the way, why Qatar, which also has historically strong connections with the Muslim Brotherhood, is also backing the government in Tripoli. And of course, Turkey and Qatar are allies. Turkish troops are stationed in Qatar to protect Qatar from Saudi Arabia. And of course, Qatar is paying Turkey for that. Qatar played a big role in helping to bail out Turkey when Erdogan ran into all kinds of financial problems a short while ago, when the Turkish currency, the lira, was collapsing. So you have an ideological connection through the Muslim Brotherhood, but one which is already pinned with money. Erdogan would not be the kind of person he is if he was not thinking about oil and Libya's oil and about positioning Turkey as a major player in the oil and energy business. I mean, that is absolutely part of the way that Erdogan thinks. And of course, money plays a role in all of that. But there's also this overarching belief that Erdogan has that Turkey should be a great power again, that it needs to play an active role in the situation in the Mediterranean and the Middle East. And that means extending Turkish power all the way to Libya, making Turkey a major player once again in the Middle East, as it was before the Ottoman Empire fell. That means Turkey being involved in Iraq, in Syria, and now in Libya too. So we see all of these things coming together. And you're absolutely right. This grandiose ambition Erdogan has to enhance Turkey's, if you like, sphere of influence, or to establish this huge sphere of influence, is going to alarm and worry lots of countries. It's going to worry Egypt, which has historically always seen itself as the leader of the Arabs and which dislikes the Muslim Brotherhood. We mustn't forget that the present government of Egypt is the product of a coup launched by the Egyptian military against an Egyptian president who was aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Egyptians won't be happy. The Israelis won't be happy. The Greeks and the Cypriots obviously will not be happy, because this sphere of influence is now engulfing large areas of Greek and Cypriot territory and is encroaching on their economic interests in the gas fields that are being developed in the Eastern Mediterranean. And of course, it will concern the superpowers, because both the US and Russia find Erdogan a difficult person to work with, and they don't really approve of him extending Turkish power in this way. The US was very happy to have Erdogan support their own regime change agenda in Syria, but they won't be at all happy if Erdogan starts to involve himself in Libya and starts supporting a government in Libya that the US is actually opposing. And as for the Russians, well, I do think the Russians are too bothered about Libya, but they won't want a jihadi enclave being established there. And they certainly won't want a major crisis in the Eastern Mediterranean. So all of these powers are going to look upon this with deep, deep concern. And some of them, I've no doubt, are trying to make this concern clear to Erdogan, who at the same time is clearly not listening.
All right. And my final question, Alexander, is, do you think that Erdogan is overextending himself here in Libya? I mean, is he overreaching and going too far? Because once again, I'll take the U.S. and Russia, this case in point. The U.S. has laid claim to the Eastern Med. That's theirs. All the oil and all the energy that's going to be going through the Eastern Med, the U.S. has said, this is ours. They've got Exxon there, and they've laid claim to it. Russia has Turkstream now.
Yes.
It's going to move through Turkey, and that's Russia's pipeline. Yes. Russia has expressed its backing of the LNA and Haftar as well. Even though it may not be as involved in Syria, it has expressed that it supports the Haftar regime.
Yes.
Is Erdogan playing both of these sides, or are these sides playing Erdogan here and they're saying, just let him continue to extend? I'm trying to figure out how Erdogan is posturing himself, or if the US and Russia are both saying, you know what? Let him keep on overreaching and keep on overreaching, and we'll see, you know, where this thing goes. That's what I'm trying to figure out here, because going into the Eastern Med, that's the U.S.'s claim. The Russians are saying, Erdogan, you've got Turkstream, don't go anymore, and we're supporting Haftar, don't support the GNA. I mean, it's Erdogan is really, you know, walking a tightrope here, and I don't know if he can successfully walk that tightrope.
Well, he is being incredibly reckless, as he often is, incidentally. I mean, his foreign policy is completely out of step with Turkey's resources. Turkey is not a military superpower. It has a very large army. It's got the second biggest army in NATO. But it is not a military or economic superpower. It doesn't have the resources to play this massively overambitious game that Erdogan is trying to play for it. And you're absolutely right. All it's going to do in the end is it's going to bog Turkey down in all kinds of conflicts where it really doesn't want or need to be. The only reason the Turks were able to extricate themselves from Syria without suffering more damage was because the Russians helped them. The Russians, in effect, provided the Turks with a bridge that enabled the Turks to retreat from Syria without too much loss of face.
Because it benefited Russia, though, but I don't see the same case in Libya.
The Russians knew how to use Erdogan in order to promote their own objectives in Syria. The Russians do not have the same interest in Libya. They will not help Erdogan there. And as for the Eastern Mediterranean being a US lake, the entire Mediterranean is a US lake. The US has controlled the Mediterranean almost entirely since the end of the Second World War. Indeed, since before the end of the Second World War, the US is overwhelmingly the dominant power in this area. And the countries that Erdogan is going against, Egypt, Israel, Greece, are US allies. Not France. Just General Carter, France too. They are US allies. So, of course, the US will not be happy with this. Now, whether there is a deeper or longer agenda to let Erdogan fail and let him break his neck, I don't know. I doubt it in the case of, I think the Russians do sometimes think like that. I don't think the US does. I don't think the US has that kind of strategic thinking anymore. It once did, but I don't think it does any longer. But irrespective of whether that is the plan, I think there's a very real possibility that that might eventually be what happens, that Erdogan could very easily find that he becomes bogged down in Libya, that it all goes horribly wrong for him, and that it all ends in disaster for him. I'm going to give an actual historical example of where exactly that happened to a Middle East leader. If you go back to the 1960s, Egypt's president of that time, Gamal Nasser, a political leader in some ways not so different from Erdogan, he too had these very grand ambitions to extend Egyptian power throughout the Middle East, to unite all the Arabs under his leadership, to create a United Arab Republic, as he called it. In order to promote that policy, he sent Egyptian troops to Yemen to fight a war there. And it turned into a disaster for Egypt. The Egyptians got bogged down for years in that war. The Egyptian army lost a lot of its men and material, and that left it in a very weak position in 1967 when the second Arab-Israeli war took place. So I can very easily see how Erdogan getting bogged down in Libya could end the same way for him.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Look for us on iTunes and on SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video. And also look for us on bitchute.com and thedurantvideo.com, where we post all our videos as well. And, of course, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Please donate to us. It really helps this channel a whole lot. And Telegram. Download that app, where you will be updated as to everything going on in the Durant community, including our DRN20 coupon, 20% off all merchandise on the Durant shop as well, including two new ebooks, Alexander, one on Ukraine Gate and one on Epstein, with a foreword written by yourself.
Indeed, each book has a foreword written by me, and as I said, in the Epstein book, I go into some detail to discuss the extraordinary mystery of this very strange man, the fact that we really ultimately know so little about him. We know that he became incredibly rich. We don't really know how he became so rich. We know a lot about the kind of people he was involved with. And the thing that we also know about him, of course, is that he was an arch criminal who carried out the most appalling crimes, and that he was able to do it in full public view without anybody doing anything, apparently, to bring him to heel. And that what eventually brought him down was not, as I think many people think, law enforcement. It was the fact that after 2014, a string of his victims started to bring civil claims against him in various courts. The accumulation of the evidence just simply became, in the end, too strong. And at that point, very much to Epstein's own surprise, the FBI finally acted. But if you want to get an overview of the kind of man Epstein was, to the extent that we can possibly know, and of the nature of the scandal that surrounds him, and of the extraordinary wall of silence that has descended around both him and the scandal, especially since his, frankly, rather strange death, then, as I said, go to our book and you'll find it all there. And as for Ukrainegate, what we try to show in this book that we've done on Ukrainegate, which I try to bring out in the preface, is how absolutely non-existent this whole impeachment saga is, how it goes completely against all the precedents established in previous impeachments, how there is no not there is no crime or indeed any clear evidence of wrongdoing on the part of anybody involved. It turns out it's all a product of a group of bitter officials within the US bureaucracy who were worried about possible changes to the US's Ukrainian policy, teaming up with the Democrats who have had it in for Donald Trump ever since he was elected. So in a way, it's another conspiracy, if you will, this time a conspiracy against Donald Trump. And the thing that links it together with Epstein is that once again, we have a media, a mainstream media, that simply isn't reporting this story in the proper and correctly factual way. So that's what we aim to do in our two ebooks. You can find those on our shop. You can find all sorts of other things on our shops. You can find our famous magic mugs. I'm afraid I don't have one immediately to hand as I'm now in the Alps, but those who have been following our programs will know about our Duran magic mugs. And we have all these wonderful shirts. This long sleeve shirt I'm wearing now, 100% cotton, keeps me warm in the sub-zero temperatures that you get on the slopes. And so lots of beautiful things in our shop, shirts, mugs, perfect gifts for this time of year. Christmas may have passed, New Year is still to come. DRN20 is the discount code, as Alex said. So go to our shop, help the Duran. Alex will tell you how to do it.
TheDuranShop.com. Put discount code at the checkout page to get 20% off all merchandise. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.